The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
More than a month ahead of the calendar, the Rembrandts and Constables of 1948 design original sketches for a record run on Christmas cards. Presses print in advance the best news of this year and every year. A happy Christmas and, the international situation permitting, goodwill to all men.
Well, in an era of emojis and memes, one traditional mode of greeting is still hanging on in there. Christmas cards will, from this week, be filling up post boxes up and down the country. Experts say there was a decline of the greeting card industry in the mid-1990s, but that has stopped in the last 5 years as millennials opt to go old school. Liam Geraghty has been taking a look at the history of the Christmas card.
I help to support the establishments I have mentioned. Those who are badly off must go there.
Many can't go there.
And some would rather die.
If they would rather die, they'd better do it and decrease the surplus population.
In 1843, Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol was released to the world.
And it was a time when the idea of Christmas was starting to shift from a sort of a rowdy folk holiday with a certain amount of public drinking and so on.
Anne O'Donnell is a writer specializing in design history.
Rural England, you'd have troops of mummers going from house to house demanding beer and so on. And in Ireland, I understand you had the Wren boys.
All the boys drinking plenty porter in every house, which we gets going down. And hardly able to play when it was nearly finishing up. They'd be so hearty as that with drunk.
It was beginning to shift to a quieter and kind of more cosy domestic celebration.
And in the same year as Scrooge appeared, it's thought that the first Christmas card was also produced. Maeve Casserly, historian with Dublin City Council and the National Library, says it began with British civil servant Henry Cole.
The first Christmas cards Henry Cole got to be produced were done because he was a very busy man. There was lots of people calling around to the house. He was getting lots of letters in the post to thank him for the work he'd done during the year, and he wanted to thank other people as well. And he thought Christmas cards would be a handy sort of time-saving tool for him, because of course people weren't able to hastily type up a WhatsApp or a text or an email.
And if you think copy and pasting a Happy Christmas text message to all your family and friends is time-consuming, then imagine the time it would take to write them all letters. So Henry gets an artist friend to illustrate a picture of a family raising a toast. But also scenes of giving. So he had celebration and charity.
He produced them for himself, but he also tried to sell about 1,000. But he misread his market. He sold them for too much. They were about a shilling a pop. Converting that to like today's money, it's like about 20 euro.
Oh, wow, that's expensive.
Yeah, I don't know if even if you go into the lovely artisanal shops today, would anyone pay 20 euro for a Christmas card? But apparently there's only about 12 of them left from that first 1843 circulation. And one sold for about £22,000 recently.
Apart from being overpriced, the first cards were printed with a wood engraving. It wasn't until a form of multicolour printing came along that the Christmas card business really took off.
A technological revolution with a long name, chromolithography. The printing could actually be done fairly quickly and inexpensively and, you know, by the thousands in steam-powered factories. And the results actually could be very rich and beautiful with a depth to it like an oil painting. This became what they called the color explosion, and it must have been such a rush. I mean, you really didn't have a lot of color images around. People just weren't seeing them. And suddenly people were able to afford, you know, these vibrant pictures. And I think it would be hard to overestimate the impact of that.
Historian Maeve Casserly came across a strange Christmas card in the National Library's current exhibition about the War of Independence.
A special Christmas card made by a group called the Auxiliaries. They're a part of the British Crown Forces, and today they have a very sort of bad reputation as being quite a vicious and violent group. But they produced a Christmas card at the very front in lovely kind of Victorian font, season's greetings. On the backside is a strange black silhouette of an auxiliary officer with a gun resting kind of in his hand, and he's just sort of standing there looking out at you ominously. And I, when I saw this, I was like, why would anyone ever want to receive that in the post? It's really terrifying. So there's a very diverse Christmas card market, even from probably 1920.
Christmas comes but once a year, but the cards are an all the year round problem for the designers, who make millions of them annually for the sentimental people of Britain.
As printing technology improved over the decades since, so too did the market for Christmas cards. Companies sprung up and diversified into all sorts of holidays. The industry is booming.
In the $1 billion, apparently. So places like Hallmark can have a turnover of like $3 billion a year, which is insane.
And it all started because Henry Cole was a very busy man.
It's their problem now, but later you too will have to decide the best way to say Merry Christmas.
Liam Geraghty, a man who always sends a lovely Christmas card, reporting there.